I want to talk about God's wrath. Wrath. Did I say it right? Wrath. This is not a subject we hear at church. God's anger. Because everybody think God is love. And he is love. God is love. God is kind. He is patient. He is slow to anger, rich in love. But also, we don't want to encounter God's wrath. Something that I come to understand, it says in the Bible, vengeance is mine. God says, the word says, I will repay, says the Lord. So it really, it's not good to take vengeance in our own hands. Okay? Jonathan, we're going to pray before we eat, or you want to do it now? We can do it now? It's the baby. You know, you see, this is how flexible we are. And that's what I tell people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You don't put this in a box where there is 1, 2, 3 you have to follow. We go, we figure it out as we go. Amen. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Thank you. And I want you to be like that too, even as you come here. Because this is something I've been... You know, this morning I got here first thing, and of course, part of my team was here. There's something Ange says that really encourages me, Ange. You know, if you really want to stay true to Christ, I'm talking about being true to Jesus Christ. First of all, the world will hate you. So this whole idea that if you're serving Christ, everything is going to be hunky-dory. Get that out of your mind. Is this the time we pray for baby? I'll be right back. Come on, come up here, guys. Actually, no, I just use my mic. So, Kellen, she's back there?
Yeah, no, she's not
there. Okay, so that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I assume this is God's mother. All right, that's good. Now, something for you guys to understand, Nathan is a miracle baby, you know. Kellunch and Jonathan, they've been praying to have a baby. And I remember when I first met Jonathan, and one of the things he said, and I was like, how may I pray for you? He said, I want to be a father. And what, a couple years later?
Not a couple years, a couple months.
A couple months later.
Yeah.
Hey. Amen. So what they're doing today, please, if you are able to stay, they're doing what we call in French action de grâce. It's Thanksgiving. It's an action, it's an act of thanks. So therefore, they invite you, they make all the food, they invite you to come and say thanks to Jesus for this beautiful Nathan. And we pray that Nathan, you remember the prophet Nathan? Mm-hmm. Prophet Nathan. You know, and that's my declaration. I pray that Nathan would be a prophet to this generation. You know, so would you come and would you pray with me? Father, I thank you. Even though Amandine represent Kellunch that's in the kitchen back there getting ready for everything. Lord, we thank you for baby Nathan. We thank you that children are a gift from you, and Nathan is a special gift to Jonathan and Kellunch. We thank you, God. I mean, it's like we're just so thankful. I'm just so thankful that you have blessed Jonathan with their firstborn and with many more because they want to have more. So, Lord, we thank you, and we bless Nathan. We ask that he would grow in the fear of God. Lord, I pray that the diseases that affect people on this earth will not affect him. At this young age, as he sees his mom and dad just praying at home, the way they interact with each other, Lord God, I pray that he would grow in a reverent fear of you. So bless Jonathan and Kellunch. Bless their family. And we pray for everyone else that will be showing support, that they say it takes a village to raise a family. So we thank you that Jonathan find a village here at Restoration. And we love them, we support them, and we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you, brother. Yeah, God bless. So, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. It says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord is spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all who have had that veil removed can see and reflect two things. Think about it. All, everyone who have had the veil removed, two things would happen to them. First of all, they will see God. They will see where God is. They will see where God is at work. Oh, I pray over you today, right now, that the veil over your spirit, your soul, will be removed. I prayed over my life. I said, God, remove my veil so I can see you. Because I don't want to miss it. Guys, Jesus came. Jesus came in their midst. The religious leaders missed him. They missed him. They're like, man, who are you? You're like the son of Beelzebul. They call Jesus a demon because the veil over their spiritual eyes literally, that's how they were. I better not stop walking. I better not start walking. Anyone, that's what this verse is saying. Can you see me? But I can't see you. See, that's what happened. But anyone what? So all, it says all of us who have had that veil removed. So now you could ask yourself a question. How would you remove this? The veil. How would that happen? Remember that? Until that veil, spiritual veil, is removed, you can't see God. You can't see God at work. Number one, you can't reflect God's glory. And that's why you see, when you read in Revelation, lukewarm Christians are the worst advertisement for a good God. Lukewarm Christians, yo-yo Christians, Christians on Sunday morning, people who come to church, but yet their lives at home, at work, their interaction with other people can't reflect. They have the talk, but the action. Doesn't match the talk. What do they say? Huh? Let your walk talk, because your talk is really have no effect. Your walk has more talk, can talk louder than your talk. You get it? Your action talk louder than your walk. Your walk talk louder than your talk. Your walk talk louder than your talk. So walk the talk. Huh? So walk your talk. You're getting it. You see? You're thinking hard now. So let your action match your talk. Don't be just talk. Because I believe that's what turned people off in the world. Because people look at our lives, they're like, you know what? That's hypocrites. Now, remember, I said it here before. The church is like a hospital with sick people. We are getting better. Because if you're not growing in the Lord, you're dying. It's just like when you go to the hospital, if you don't get better to so they can give you an exit, how do you call that? Exit, sign you off, discharge. If you go to the hospital because you're sick, Jesus came for the sick. If you go to the hospital because you're sick, two things are going to happen to you. They either sign you to the morgue or sign you to go home. I'll let you think about this for 5 seconds. Truth, right? Whenever someone turns, we'll go back to the question. So how does the veil removed? We have we. You know, the Lord is already like, son, daughter, come. I have got so much good plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you joy, plans to give you peace, plans to give you a future that is sure. But you have to help me out. What do you have to do according to the verse? That too, and then turn. Walk the walk and talk the talk, right? But you must turn. Because all of us who have had the veil removed by turning, we can see God, and then we can reflect the Lord's glory. Who is Spirit makes us more and more like him. Anybody wants to be more like Jesus? I tell you, I have one desire, one and only desire. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be talk like Jesus. Only. I want to talk like him too, but I want to be like him. I want when people encounter me, for them to go home to be like, there's something different about this guy. And then for them to be like, okay, oh, yeah, this is what's happening. The veil has been removed. And I believe the believers who turn to the Lord has freedom in the Spirit. You know, we say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I mean, you would be surprised. I was thinking the other day, you know, thank you guys for, you know, October, Pastors Appreciation Month. I thank you. I thank you for who, I said a couple months ago, I said, I want you to sit in the middle. And some of you who are over here, you, that's good. That's good. But I speak the truth to you, and I tell you, I thank you for praying for me as your pastor. And I thank you for encouraging me. My eyes is not on any of you. My eyes is on Jesus. You know why? Because if there is one person that takes a lot of abuse in the church, it's the pastor. Because you have no idea how many times people just blame you for something. You're like, really? When did I do that? People who are, I mean, God called you here, for those of you who are members here. When you feel like your time is, maybe you find somewhere else. God is not just here. God is other places too. But I know for a fact Jesus is here. Nobody can come to me be like, Jesus is not here. If you're here, you're looking for Jesus. You are serious about the Holy Spirit. I know he is here. I don't have to hear, you can tell me, yeah, we can come in one accord that he is here. But if you're looking for an excuse to be gone, please, don't beat on me. talk to me. Say, you know what? I find somewhere else, and so we can bless you. How many times I said, I bless you coming in. I want to bless you going out. And that's also a sign of spiritual maturity. Because when you are mature spiritually, you know how to manage your life relationship. You don't just drop off. So for example, last month we had our brother who was assassinated. His name was Charlie Kirk. There's this big thing going around, this big thing going online. And now it's probably been 2 months. I can't remember the date. You know, this whole hype about the whole thing, you know, it's dying off. But I pray that there is a movement of courage to every believer. I pray that. But you know who's really missing him right now? His wife and his three children. I've moved on. You've moved on. But yet there was this movement online about different people asking, is your pastor talking about Charlie? Some people are mad because their pastor talked about him. Other people are mad because their pastor didn't talk about him. So let's say you and I, we have this intimate relationship for 15 years, for 6 years, and then you're just going to throw it away? That's what we do within our marriages. For just a little misunderstanding, instead of sitting down, talking about, you know, come to me. You know, I will come to you. But instead of coming to me, be like, you know what? This is what I don't understand. And then you just want to text me, you know what? I won't show up. Because, you know, my recent text, you know, one person here says, you know, I restrain the Holy Spirit. Exactly. This whole thing's been like, I came here the other day. I'm like, Jesus. I said, Jesus, I know this is not true, but no, it's like, I'm not even protecting a pulpit. Somebody wants it, come take it. Restrain the Holy Spirit? That's why I said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So guys, you do have the freedom to shout, hallelujah, glory to God, you have the freedom. Or you also have the freedom to just sit on your butt while somebody else is shouting hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. You have the freedom to start running around. You do have the freedom to start running around praising God. But you also have the freedom to not to just stand up straight like a pole. You do. How many times must I say this? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I thank God for what he's doing here. That's why I'm using Robert, of course, as an example. I thank God for him because his gifting is so different than mine. But because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom for all fivefold ministries to work together. That's what a lot of people missed. I say, God, release the prophetic voice. Because me as a pastor, I am the shepherd. Do you remember in the apostles, James was the pastor of the church. Even Apostle Paul, before he was released to the ministry totally, he had to go back in Jerusalem to meet James as the established bishop of the church. So he understood authority. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if a lot of times people don't understand, and I believe that to understand God's holiness, you must also understand God's wrath. And I want to remind you that we are not a consumer church. Consumer? Is that how you say it? Consumer. You come here. And I sing for you. I wasn't singing for you. No. I'm not here to entertain you. No. I will never entertain you. I'm not here to play music for you. I know you knew it already. God has blessed me with gifts. Amen. To play with I can't read music, but it doesn't matter. I can play anything. That's a gift I return back to God. I remember when I was growing up, I don't know if I told you this story. Actually, one of my best friends, he's got one of the big band down in Miami singing for the devil. I watched him on YouTube. I said, God saved him because he's so empty. And I remember I was in church. I was playing the guitar. Guitar is my main instrument. I was playing the guitar. And after the service, one dude came to me. He's like, man, I was probably like 16, 17. He said, man, you're pretty good on the guitar. I said, oh, thank you, you know. He's like, man, you want to play in a band? And I said, sure. Where was he? He found me in church. His band was a band in the world. I didn't know that. I just liked to play music. I was like, sure. So I went to his first rehearsal, and I'm playing Caribbean music. I'm playing first rehearsal, all right? I was good. I like it, man. He's like, you like it, kid? Yeah, sure, I like it. Second rehearsal, I'm playing. And I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, Ricardo, what are you doing here? This is not your spot. See, thank God I knew God's voice back then. And I knew it was just like my father rebuking me and then all of a sudden I felt the fear of God. I felt like I was dirty just playing music. I literally just dropped the guitar and went. I don't know if I ever tell you guys a story. I left the guitar and went. And none of those guys, I think some of those guys, they have passed. But none of those guys are serving the Lord now. And I see two of them that I knew. Very, very famous in Miami. I mean, they're making millions, but yet they're so dead. So, I tell you this. I'm no entertainer to you. When I play, when I sing to Jesus. So when we, Kendra was saying, it's like I know some of you can't. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, I want you to consider this. I want us to take this time to revisit what worship is for a little bit. Keep this in mind. When you live a life of worship, others will see it. Worship is an exercise of the human spirit that is directly, primarily to God. Let me tell you again, what is worship? Worship is an exercise of the human spirit that is directly primary to God. That's why it's an exercise of my spirit directly to God. That's why even when I don't feel it, I worship. That's why worship has nothing to do with good spoon. I always have a problem saying that word, but you get it. Worship has nothing to do, oh man, he's crying. Because sometimes we judge people. You know, I repent. This is something, I don't think I've ever said it here, but I'm going to say it. When I first moved here, I didn't know I was like that until one day I was in the presence of God. Remember I told you, I came from a church, my previous church, I was the oldest. Can you imagine that? I was like in my 40s, the oldest. Kendra and I, we were the oldest couple. So there was a lot of energy. And then, of course, the Caribbean people, we're very emotional. We connect with our emotion. Sometimes you might have somebody that was sleeping over last night. I mean, you know, doing crazy things like that. Maybe they were drunk last night. But they'll be in church, man. You start singing, man, they're going to be like, they'll even cry. So now you're like, okay, this person, their lifestyle and them singing in church doesn't match. Okay? But we had a really good church, good move. Everything was going great. And then God brought me here. At first, I didn't know I was going to stay. And then the Lord called me here. Okay? So I'm looking at everybody. I love these people. But I'm like, God, they're not my people. I said, Lansdowne Church, I felt like it wasn't my people. Okay? I said, I've never said this, but I'm being wide open with you. But now you guys are like, God changed my heart. It's like, I love my church, man. Oh, yes, you guys are my people. The Lord rebuked me for judging the people I was leading worship. Because I'm like, well, how come they don't sing? It's me and Jesus talking. How come they don't do this? And then the Lord's like, well, you see what's happening to you? You're judging them. Remember, Jesus said, times come, true worshipers will worship Father in spirit and in truth. True worship has nothing to do with height. True worship has also nothing to do with giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, to you be the glory. And then while you're doing this, you are in spirit, you are in truth. God sees it. And then there's another brother over there. He's like, King over all the universe, no one could comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. Woo! And it's all because of Jesus, I'm alive. Each person is in spirit and in truth. But we miss it by judging people. Be like, well, you're not my people. You don't have my style. That's why even worship leader, listen to what one of the famous leaders, I'll never mention the name. It grieves me and I pray for that person. One of the famous worship leaders online, he said this. He said, I'd love to see more worship sets and more churches like keep Baba in mind. Yeah, Baba is this guy who have been dragged to church by his wife, or it's Easter Sunday, it's Christmas Eve service, you know, the CEOs, the Christians on Easter and Christmas only. The CEOs, people who just come to church on special events on Mother's Day. So this guy is saying, you know, I want the church and the worship leaders to keep this guy in mind. He said, I just don't know when we opening our service with a song, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's saying, I don't think that's right. You know how wrong this guy is? He's saying, when we come, me as a worship leader, I'm a worship leader. I was a worship leader before I was called to be a pastor. He said, when I prepare my service, I need to think what Priscilla's thinking. Oh, Priscilla don't like this song. So that's why we have all this. The challenge is not the challenge a worship leader or a pastor has. In a church, this group wants hymns. That group wants contemporary worship. This group says it's too loud. This group says they don't like the drum because it's worldly. Or this group says, why do we have to stand up so long? This group says we sing too long. This group says we don't sing enough. This group says, man, this person's too loud. I don't really like when they're shouting hallelujah. This group says, you know what? Why aren't we, like my brother, you know, this person is like, you know, why are we restraining? I mean, am I the Holy Spirit? I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't force you to shout hallelujah. That's why. This is what I believe. Music is designed in the church for one purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. Yes. Our worship is not to you. So get it out of your head. We haven't sung Amazing Grace. Oh, we haven't sung Amazing Grace. I don't know why we don't. Why don't we sing Amazing Grace? There's one person that came to me years ago. He's like, Pastor, why don't you lead us in the Lord's Prayer? I said, okay, hang on. What do you mean? He's like, well, you never, you know, before we go home, you never ask everybody, let's just say, stand together, let's all say. I said, won't you just pray the Lord's Prayer on your own? Why do I have to lead you in the Lord's Prayer? Music is designed in the church for one purpose only. It's to glorify God. It's not designed by any means to make you happy, to make you feel good. Music is not unto, I'm thinking, well, oh, let's see, we have 3 visitors today. I better not singing holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, because they're going to be like, what is holy? God is holy. The Lord is holy. And no man can stand in his presence. It doesn't matter where you come from. God is holy. One day every tongue will confess God is God. And I don't want to acknowledge anything else. One day, every tongue, everybody will acknowledge him. But blessed are those who choose to do that now. And when we come together in this mindset, and I encourage you, please, when we come together, sing. Shout hallelujah, be expressive. You know, it's just like I live in 26 of marriage, and I love my wife. I never tell her I love her. If I never tell her I love her, how would she know? Well, some people might say, well, the day I got married, I told her if I ever change my mind, I'll tell her. Actually, a guy said that. I told her I love her once, and if I ever change my mind, she will know. Why do I have to always be feely, feely, touchy, touchy? You don't get it. Because I love her, I got to tell her. I got to do action that shows that I love her. It's the same thing with God. Vic was talking last week. He said, man, anyone who is in love with God, 3 things will mark them. Commitment to God. Commitment to God. You don't just show up because it's convenient. No way. If you're serving God when it's convenient, are you truly serving God? It's gonna cost you something to encounter the face of God. It will cost you. It cost Christ everything. It will cost you and I everything to encounter him. My brothers and sisters, listen to me. It will cost you everything. If you want to be a true believer, someone who is ready for the return of our King, it will cost you. Commitment. Are you truly committed to God? Are you intimate with him? Intimacy. You know what intimacy is? In the secret place. It's not something you do in public. Like, we can't really be really truly intimate with God here. We come together. It's a collective thing. But you know where you get intimate with him? He who dwells in the secret place. When no one sees you. You and the Word. You and seeking God. That's what I do. To be intimate with him. And then passion. For those of you who have been married, you know, phileo doesn't keep the marriage going. It's commitment. Of course, sometimes you lost the passion. So you have to fan the flame of passion. I got to date her. I got to be intentional to take her out. On our anniversary, we go away by ourselves. We fan the flame of love. Same thing with God. You're losing your passion? You're losing your love for God? You're losing your love for the things of God? You're losing your passion for God's people? What's your hope? You go to heaven? You know who else is going to be in heaven? God's people. The church. The church. So worship, music is designed for one purpose. Worship is not designed for us. You know, I know some people must say, well, if we don't change our music, other people won't come. There's nothing here, I'm talking in the context of Restoration Church. There's nothing here in our teams we do to appeal to you. It's all unto Jesus. So if you're looking for whatever else you're looking for, I'm sorry. It's not here. But if you want Jesus, come on, let's do Jesus together. Let's read the word together, guys. That's my heart. You know, let's live a holy life. Let's be honest. Repent of our sin. Let's be a family together. Let's submit to one another. I submit to God. I submit to you. Yes, I'm the pastor. You know, some people, they don't understand authority, so they always buck. If you can't submit to my authority as the pastor, please don't fight me. Because first of all, you're going to make my work harder. But I'm going to ask you to go find your pastor. Because you can't, you know, we're not here to fight. Because some people, they're agent of the devil. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They just come to steal, kill, and destroy. Believe me, I'm a fighter too. I have encountered a lot of stuff. Worship is seeing and savoring the worthiness of God and responding as He deserves. Let me say that again. Worship is seeing and savoring, tasting, eating the worthiness of God and responding as He deserves. So therefore, if God deserves me to raise my hands, guess what I'm going to do? If God deserves for me at this moment to say, hallelujah, Jesus, you're so worthy, I'm going to do it. If God deserves for me to lay down on the floor, I'm going to do it. If God deserves for me to, you know, bounce around, I'm going to do it. Worship is seeing and savoring the worthiness of God and responding as He deserves. Worship will only be as genuinely high as you acknowledge, as your knowledge of God is deep. So your worship will be as genuinely high as your knowledge of God is deep. The deeper you know God, the higher your worship will be. It's so simple. It's like to the ones who much have been forgiving, He shows more love. I mean, I worship Jesus because when I look at my life, I realize, man, I'd be such a miserable soul without Him. I would be lost. I was once dead. And it's all because of Jesus. Oh, when I'm singing that song, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not singing for you. I'm telling Jesus it's all because of Him. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be giving in the spirit of darkness, celebrating death last week. Worship will only be as genuinely high as your knowledge of God is deep. You can't be a true worshiper individually and not be a true worshiper corporately. So let's say if you never worship God at home, when you come here, you won't know what to do. And I've seen those people doing the service. They're like this. And everybody's saying, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of... You know why I close my eyes? Because I don't want to see people. That's the only reason I close my eyes. Now they say when you pray for demons possessed person, never close your eyes because the demon might be doing this. So you want to have your eyes open if he's acting so you can step back. That's wisdom. I've seen it happen. When you pray for demon-possessed people, they'll be like, in the name of Jesus. No. Look them in the eye. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone. So you can't be a true worshiper. Are you worshiping God at home? In your car, what do you listen to? At home, what are you listening to? Create an atmosphere. I live in the atmosphere of God. At home, in my car, whatever I'm doing, it's like I want to soak, marinating in the presence. You know, worship does not begin with a feeling. Good
spot.
I can't say that word. Figure it out. It's beginning with goosebump. It's not good spot. So, let me finish with this. And I read you this Psalm 100. Give me Psalm 100 on the screen, please. You know, Ralph Martin says, from the International Standard Bible, I read it at the beginning, it says, worship is an exercise of the human spirit that is directly, primarily to God. It is an enterprise undertaking. Listen to this. Not simply to satisfy our need or to make us feel better or to minister to our taste, but worship is to acknowledge the worthiness of God and give Him all He deserves. You know? So if you, let's say you come here and I don't sing Amazing Grace, well, on the way home, play it. Don't give me a heart attack over it. And if you're kind enough, be like, you know what, Pastor? I'd love, can we do Amazing Grace next week? Guess what? It's going to be on the top of the list next week. I even sing it 3 times. Amazing Grace. Listen to this. Psalm 100. Let's finish with this. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. His unfaithfulness love continues for what? Ever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. Give me Psalm 101. Psalm 101, and then we go to Psalm 95 and 96. We'll read those, no comments. It says, I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. See, that's worship. Oh, when will you come to my help? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. Man, how radical. No comments. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from evil, every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people and to be my companions. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house. And liars will not stay in my presence. My daily task will be ferret out of the wicked and free the city of the Lord from their grip. Psalm 95. Is it still the... Psalm 95 says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalm and praise to Him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to Him, for He made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. If only you would listen to His voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors test and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years, I was angry with them. And I said, they are people whose hearts turn away from me. You can stop right there because I'm going to move forward next week with that. Because I'm going to move into what exactly is the wrath of God when we make God angry. And right now, because of Jesus, God is not mad at anybody. God's not mad at you. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be a time judgment's coming. Thank God for the ultimate Lamb of God who died on the cross. So every day we screwed up, Jesus before God is like, Father, grace. That's why we don't want to miss His grace. His grace empowers us. His grace gives us so much peace. Now, did you hear what I say? And I pray, if everything I said is so much for you to remember, go back and listen to it again. I spoke my heart, as I always try to do. And I really appreciate you guys for your encouragement and your prayers. Let's do the gospel. Right? Right? Anybody else wants to do the gospel? Yes. Let's do the gospel. Come on, let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. And we choose today, we're going to do the gospel. We don't want to do anything else. Here in this community, in this church, Jesus, you are the King. And we are the people in your pasture. We are your sheep. So lead us, Lord. Lead me first, God. Father, I thank you for the work you're doing here in this place. I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the way you are teaching me first, God. And I bless these, your sons and your daughters. Father, I pray that you'd bless Jonathan and Care Lunch and Nathan and everyone that's been just pouring into getting this beautiful dinner ready. Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that your favor will go before us. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And God's people said, Amen. All right, go in His victory. Amen.